Welcome to the Bloody Aussie Battler podcast with your host and fellow battler, Mike Holt. The Bloody Aussie Battler brings you news, views and interviews as we discuss what the liars, thieves, criminals and traitors have been doing to our country and to Western democracies around the world. My guests discuss important issues and explain why and how it's time to drain the billabong to bring back decent, lawful, moral government that will serve we, the people of the Commonwealth of Australia. Join us now on the Bloody Aussie Battler. Australia! Australia!
Are you interested in podcasts that uncover the truth? Tune into Widdershins Podcast. Straight from science fiction, we uncover the technologies being developed right under our noses. We bring to you the world's leading scientists, engineers, and experts to discover just how far away these things really are from becoming our reality. www.widdershinspodcast.com.
Well, hello again. Here I am sitting with my hat on because the green screen makes my top of my head disappear. But anyway, that's all good. It's the Battler here, of course, and I want to talk today about common law, the origins of our laws and the Constitution, and how we can fix the problems that we currently face, because there's no point in talking about all of this stuff if we don't figure out a way to fix the problems. So I hope you agree and you'll stick with me, because I'm going to start right now by discussing common law. When I talk about English, I talk about English common law, which is actually the supreme law of the land. And it's still the supreme law today. It's the duty of the common law grand jury to expose all fraud and corruption, whether it is in the political or judicial realms, and stop it. So it's up to us, we, the people of Australia, to resolve our problems, not the political parties, because they are the people who've actually caused the problems. So let's go right back in time to 1066, when William the Conqueror started to strengthen the royal courts established by his Anglo-Saxon predecessors. Then King Henry I came along in 1100, and he sent royal judges to preside in county courts. Now, county courts were usually presided over by a baron or some other royal appointee. Then King Henry II in 1154 sent judges to travel throughout the kingdom, taking jurisdiction in cases that were usually under the province of feudal and local courts. Now, these judges settled disputes based on the customs of the people and the well-established principles of feudal society. Now, I won't go into feudal society, but basically this is when people had been living under a system of serfdom, where they were living on land that was owned by the barons, who then paid, the barons then paid the king either in money or taxes or with troops whenever the king went to war. Now, out of the decisions of these common courts grew a law that became common to the entire kingdom. So if a decision was made in one court, it applied to the whole kingdom. And that's where the term common law came from. And it's a body of judicial decisions stretching back through the centuries. It's also often called case law. Now, before a judge can hand down a judgment, they must refer to case law to ensure that it is consistent with previous decisions. So if his decision is going to go against a previous decision, then his decision is wrong. So throughout this discussion, I'm going to be talking about only English common law. Now, the Australian political parties brought in the Australian common law. That doesn't exist, and it does not bind us to anything because it doesn't have any authority. I'll explain that very shortly. After World War II, Australia's economy started to boom again. And in fact, back in the 1920s, Australia was one of the richest countries in the world. We were riding high on the sheep's back. Then along came the war and things went back a bit, but Pig Iron Bob Menzies came along as Prime Minister. He helped grow the economy very quickly. And by the 50s, 60s, 70s, Australia was booming. We had untold jobs, we had manufacturing, we had farming, everything was good. And then in 1972, the Australian people voted in that communist traitor, Gough Whitlam. And by 1973, he took the Queen out of our constitution. That was high treason. He had no authority to do it. He just did it. He was a dictator, a socialist, communist dictator. Now, what happened then, because he took the Queen out of the constitution, all laws passed and any judgments handed down in any Australian court since then are not valid. Now, think about that, because what it really means is that everybody who's been convicted since 1973 is sitting in jail unlawfully. We face a very big constitutional problem, and it's not going to be easy to fix. But who's going to fix it? Well, you. It's our job to fix these problems. Even the Queen has said, when Australians have gone over there to petition her to fix the problem, she has just shook her head and said, I can't do anything. It is up to the people of Australia to resolve their constitutional problems. And that's what we're doing here today. Now, what we need to understand is that Australia has one of the best constitutions in the world. It's even better than the American one, in my opinion. But whether it's the best or not doesn't matter. The fact is that we are one of the few countries in the Commonwealth that has a very good constitution. Canada doesn't have one. Not even the United Kingdom has a constitution. And yet most Australians don't know what a constitution, or that we have one for a start, and they don't know what it is. So my message to all Australians is, hey, wake up. We have a constitution. And what is a constitution? Well, basically, it's a set of rules established by all the people in the Commonwealth of Australia and voted on in a series of referendums, which was then ratified by Queen Victoria in 1900 and officially established on the 1st of January 1901. So 1st of January 1901 was what we call Federation Day. And if you see pictures of those days, colour pictures, you'll see that they're waving the red Australian Federation flag. That red flag is the flag of the people. So getting back to the Constitution, what does the Constitution do? Basically, the preamble, which is the beginning of the Constitution, states this: whereas the people of New South Wales, Victoria, South Australia, Queensland, and Tasmania, humbly relying on the blessings of Almighty God, have agreed to unite in one indissoluble federal commonwealth under the crown of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Ireland, and under the constitution hereby established. Now, what that means is that we, the people, are the Commonwealth of Australia, not the political parties. They've set up their own Commonwealth of Australia all in all caps. That's not us. Ours is capital C, Commonwealth, small of, Australia with a capital A, all small letters following. That is us, and that is our constitution, that is our nation, that is our Commonwealth of Australia. So when Gough Whitlam took the Queen out of the constitution in 1973, he committed high treason. What a shame he's not here today, because I would really like to see him swing for that. But what he did was, he ensured that all laws passed by any government since 1973 are not valid. They do not have the authority of the Crown behind them. They do not have the authority of we, the people of the Commonwealth of Australia, voting in a referendum behind them. How can there be any authority when there is no Crown authority anymore? And certainly, we, the people, never voted in a referendum. So, that's the big problem that we face. Then in 1986, along came Bob Hawke, and he brought in the Australia Act. And notice I say he brought in. He didn't ask we the people to vote on it in a referendum. He didn't get the Crown signature on it. What he got was his Governor General, paid for by his political parties, to sign it. You won't find the Queen's signature on that Australia Act. And without her signature or the authorised Governor General belonging to the Queen, it has no authority. Now, you've heard me talk about common law. So what kind of law do we have now? Well, actually, in Australia, we have two laws. We have common law and we have civil law or admiralty law or contract law. It's got a dozen names, but it's still not our law. So what is the difference? Well, common law has only two rules: do no harm or threat of harm, and take responsibility for your actions. And by taking responsibility for your actions, you are assumed and presumed to be innocent. You have all the freedoms accorded to us by the English common law and the English Bill of Rights. We have all the responsibility, and we do not have to ask anybody for permission to do anything unless we are going to borrow something from them or get into their lives in some way and we need their permission to do that. Otherwise, we are free to do whatever we like. We are free to travel wherever we like. Think about this. When our grandfathers or great-grandfathers rode horses, did they need a license to ride a horse from one town to the other? Of course not. And yet, what's the difference between getting on a horse and jumping in a car? Now, the other law, civil law or admiralty law, we actually call it Roman civil law. And it has thousands of laws. If you walk into a law library today, there are literally thousands of books of laws. And they give you limited freedom, limited responsibility, and limited liability. So that's where you go. When you go into the court today, you are going into Roman civil law. That's why there is no judge, no lawful judge sitting, and there's no jury of your peers. And yet under common law, if we are hauled into court, we must stand before a jury of our peers, 12 men and women, and we must face our accuser. Now, since when has a speeding camera ever been able to accuse somebody in a court of law? When has a parking inspector ever turned up in court to face the person he has accused of parking in the wrong place? For that matter, when has a parking inspector ever had any right to issue a ticket to us? We never agreed to it. The councils just simply took that onto their own shoulders. So, what do we do about this? Well, as you've probably heard already, if you haven't, you haven't been watching my videos and my listening to my podcast, it is up to we, the people of the Commonwealth of Australia, to resolve these problems. It's not going to be easy, but we do have the law on our side. And common law states that any group of people in a community may get together and form a grand jury and convene a common law court. We don't need judges, we don't need lawyers. In fact, lawyers are an anathema to real justice. They work for the system, not for us. So what is a grand jury? Well, a grand jury is simply a court of people from a community getting together, and 23 of those people should sit on the jury. Who chooses them? The community chooses them, or we volunteer. Do you have to be a Commonwealth public official, a CPO? No, but it is encouraged, because a CPO has a better knowledge of common law and the Constitution than the ordinary man in the street. So when you volunteer or decide to sit on a common law grand jury, be prepared to sit there for quite a few weeks. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes time to take the judgment, to take the evidence from the people coming forward. So let me explain how this all works. Right now, we are asking everybody in Australia to sign a My Will letter. We're getting a lot of signatures, although we don't have enough yet. But the more signatures we have, the more authority we gain from you, the people of the Commonwealth of Australia, to convene the grand jury and eventually common law courts. We don't need your authority, but it's nice to show that we have the support of the people. So the My Will letter is only to show that you support the work that we are doing. We can convene a grand jury tomorrow, but there's one problem. We need your help. If you have not sent us an affidavit showing us exactly who has committed a crime or harm against you, and detailing the dates, the times, the places of the harm done to you, the amount of money you may have lost, and naming names. A government cannot harm you. Only the people who work for the government can harm you, okay? So if you haven't sent us your grand jury affidavit yet, please do it. And this is where to send it. You'll see it here on the screen. Now, once we've got your affidavit, we will convene the grand jury and we will summons you to stand before the grand jury and give your evidence. Now, there is a procedure to do this, and I'll explain this in another video, but basically you get up and you tell your story before the grand jury, and then it is up to the 23 jurors to decide whether you have a strong enough case to summon someone to a common law court to answer for their crimes. Right? Now, if that's the case, we will issue an indictment against the person, and then we will get the police or a common law sheriff to issue a summons to the court. Now, if they don't appear before the court, they can be summarily convicted, and then they will have to take the responsibility for any of the punishments meted out by the common law court. So, how does trial by jury before a common law court work? Well, in a quote from the New York Constitution Act, as understood at common law and as used in constitutional provision, jury imports, that means is composed of, a body of 12 men and women. So a common law court hears trial cases. A regular jury just decides the fact. So a grand jury or a regular jury just decides whether there is a reason to indict someone for a crime. So a jury decides in criminal cases whether the prosecution has proved their case beyond a reasonable doubt, and the decision of the jury must be unanimous. So if you're talking about a crime committed by somebody against another person, rape, murder, grievous bodily harm, etc., the 12 jurors must give a unanimous decision. If only one person says, no, I don't think they're guilty, there is no decision. And the jury can either elect to continue their deliberations, or they can say, okay, we can't convict this person, so we'll tell the judge that and the case dismissed. Now, in a civil case, that is where there's been theft or, you know, other crimes like that, guilt is proved by a preponderance of evidence of more than 51%. So if the jury decides that 51 to 49, that a crime has been committed, then that person is guilty. A jury consists of 12 ordinary men and women summoned from the common law court, or summoned to the common law court, to hear the evidence against an accused person, as well as their defense. And of course, we hear the accusation, we hear the defense, and then it is up to the jury to decide which one is true. So after all the evidence has been presented, it's the duty of the jury to deliberate carefully and decide whether the accused is guilty or innocent. A juror needs no qualifications to be summoned to sit on a jury, provided they are upstanding members of the Commonwealth of Australia. Anybody can be called to sit on a jury. Are you prepared to do your civic duty? You'd better be, because we may summon you. Now, members of the judiciary, politicians, and convicted felons currently serving time in prison may not be jurors. A common law court is led by a court adjudicator, not a judge. And the adjudicator's job is to ensure the court performs its duty correctly according to the law. The court adjudicator has no authority to decide on the fate of a defendant or to direct a jury to make a decision. The adjudicator's job is simply to run the court, just as a president of a meeting will run the meeting. It is the duty of the jury to execute justice, and sometimes mercy. Their decisions cannot be second-guessed, and in other words, the decision of a jury is final. Nor can a jury be interfered with or tampered with while it sits. So if somebody tries to interfere with the jurors while they're sitting, they have a big problem, and the court can punish those people. The jury shall have the right to determine the law and the fact. That's just it. Now, other members of a common law court include a sheriff, a bailiff, and at least one justice. And a justice is usually a person who is well versed in common law. It doesn't mean he's a lawyer, although some lawyers are well versed in common law too. Okay, so I hope that this makes it clear. I'm going to be doing an interview with somebody very soon to explore how common law works in our society and the benefits that it will bring. Because once we get back to common law, we will regain all the freedoms that the political parties have taken away from us. And we're going to have to relearn how to enjoy those liberties and our freedoms. And so we need to explore how this will work in our society. Will it be good for society? Most people are law-abiding, and we only want to live our lives in peace, and that is what common law brings. Thank you very much.
Dick Yardley's book, Australian Political and Religious Leaders, Treason, Treachery and Sabotage. Dick exposes how Whitlam, Hawke, Keating, Goss, Rudd and all the other Fabians have destroyed our manufacturing and agriculture. If you want to know exactly how they have done it, get Dick's book at advanceaustralia.com.au and click on merchandise. Knowledge is power. Get the power to fight the corruption today. If you're enjoying the Bloody Aussie Battler podcast, please consider donating to help keep us going. You can donate just once or make it a monthly donation. Any amount is welcome. To donate, go to our website at www.thebloodyaussiebattler.com and click on Donate.